we got to make sure, my friends, that we're very careful. Another Ben Aviv, this week's Parsha, Parsha Shemini, they said, Mosa Yemusu Azakena. One of the things they were punished for is they said, you know, one of the old people going to pass on already and let us, you know, the younger generation take over. That's a pretty terrible thing to say, and they were punished for it. And over here, we're losing our Zakenim a little bit, more than anyone else. We're losing our Zakenim. And I was talking to someone today, and he said a terrible thing to me. He's a young guy, and he was saying to me, people are saying it's only the old people, but it's not true. Even young people are dying. As if it's only the old people, that's okay. I mean, it's just old people anyway. But even if it was just the old people, which it's not, he's right, it's not. But even if it was just the old people, we need our old people. And to be able to be with them by the Seder is a very big opportunity to discuss. And I was looking forward to going to be with my parents for the Seder, and I will not. But at the same time, Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting us in a situation, and he's giving us an opportunity. Excuse me. He's giving us an opportunity, and he's telling us that now is our chance, and our chance to be able to create with our immediate family a very special bond, and we can create this Pesach with having our family close and paying attention and appreciating and affirming the importance of our immediate family and building them. And even though, of course, we appreciate our extended family and they're precious and they're important, but still, now we can turn this into a opportunity to empower our family to be able to create a closeness that is there that we never had this opportunity before. And you know that there are thousands of people who are supposed to be at Pesach programs. Now, pardon me for saying this, if any of you were meant to be by a Pesach program. And I'm talking particularly about the programs where, you know, people are doing like these communal seders. I'm not talking about people renting houses or whatever, but there's people in hotels. And honestly, I was by it once. I was one time. My family's at a hotel. So I'm not talking like an ignoramus totally. But I don't think that's the way Yom Tov was meant to be. I honestly don't think that's the way Yom Tov was meant to be. You know, everyone's, you know, looking around at other people, the things, and it's not like you don't have a real, an enriched Yom Tov. It might be an easier Yom Tov. It might be an enjoyable, might get a lot of food on Yom Tov. But to have a real feeling of like where I can focus on my family, I don't think they have that. So I think that Kadosh Baruch Hu is perhaps creating a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for bonding, for building, that we have this Pesach. And we have to have to kind of live up to that opportunity. And basically what's going to happen here is we are going to become the mechanech, that each parent, each one of us has to become the one who is going to teach our children, because tonight is the night of Higadot LeBincha. This night, the Seder night, I say tonight, but this is what I'm referring to. The Seder night is the night where you're supposed to give over our glorious tradition to our children. And often we can rely on our parents, and it's very precious to be able to have that, for our children to be able to expose to the previous generation. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us to rise to the challenge. Now it's our time to do it. And there's a lot of interesting quotes which I'd like to share with you tonight, which I think are appropriate for what we are going through right now. One of them is the following thing. Sir Winston Churchill said the following thing: men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them just stand up, brush themselves off, and hurry off as if nothing happened. Which means that we're going through something that's seriously monumental, my friends. It's historic. And when you're going through something like this, it behooves us to be able to take stock on our lives. It really behooves us to do that. And right now, we're all stumbling on a moment of truth. The question is, are we just going to brush ourselves off, get up and hurry off as if nothing happened? Or are we going to try to really do something that's gonna affect change? I'm not telling you what the change is. I'm not gonna scream about weddings, about cell phones, about davening in shul. I'm not screaming. But I'm saying that every person should try to take stock of their relationship with their wife. Because some people are going crazy because They're just spending too much time with their wife. So maybe we haven't really paid enough attention to that. And we haven't really like addressed the issues that are there. Maybe it's our relationship with our children. Maybe we've kind of let our children kind of like just go off in a direction and just leave me alone. And just like, we just kind of like placate them and give them stuff to just distract them because we haven't worked on our children enough. And now's an opportunity for us to be able to spend time with our families and build a meaningful relationship and build our children in a way that's going to improve their lives. And if that's what this whole crisis has done to our family unit, so then even with all the challenges, and I can tell you there's a lot of challenges, and I lost two uncles already. I lost two uncles. I have a brother-in-law who's in the hospital. I have dear friends, one of them who's still on a respirator, another one that was just inches away from the door, from death's door. So I felt this corona in a pretty, pretty deep way. But if what it's doing to our immediate family is bringing us that hopefully closer because we're confronted with our reality. So then for us, perhaps it was a building opportunity. And yes, a person can discuss, what does shul mean to me? What does davening mean to me? What am I doing when I go to shul? And all the other things that are being brought up. So of course we could, if we want, we can become haters. Or we could just, I'm not judging anyone else and I'm not going off on anyone. Like, why are they screaming? Are they screaming? But I'm just kind of like trying to internalize, what can it mean to me? What can it be for me? I'll share with you one quick story. The story's about, I'm trying to remember let's see if I can get this story right. Because I often get my stories wrong. Okay, I'm going to get the story wrong, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, even though it's wrong, because you get the point. The story is about Rebbech Be'er, but I think it might be about one of the Ger Rebbes, but I'm going to tell about Rebbech Be'er. That one time when he was younger, he was criticized by his father for something that he didn't commit, by something that he didn't do wrong. And his father afterwards apologized because Rebbech Be'er was crying, but he said, I was thinking about what you said to me, and even though I didn't do what you did, what you said I did wrong, but still I realized that I had to be, had to improve in that area. So my friends, even if we're going to say that maybe some of the things that we're being shouted at are maybe, challenging, or maybe they're not relevant to me, or maybe for whatever reason, we can still try to, as much as possible, internalize what's going on and make improvements in all areas. So now, my friends, we are now in a situation which is not what we expected at all. And we have two choices. Either we can complain about it, or we can make the best of it. There's another quote by someone named John Wooden. He said, things turn out the best for people who make the best of the way that things turn out. Which is, look, this is what it is, so let's make the best of it. And if a person says, if he goes in with an attitude of, okay, I'm going to do this, and we're going to bring something positive out of this, then we will. So things are going to turn out best for people that make the best for how things turn out. So what does it mean to have a beautiful Yom Tov? It could mean, we're saying, good food, and it could mean where the Seder goes smooth, or it could mean that these are seeds that we're planting. We're planting seeds in order to be able to start a better relationship in our family, to try to improve our bond that we have with our immediate family. Robert Louis Stevenson is a very famous American author, said, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant. In other words, I don't know if this Yom Tov is gonna be as delicious. That would be the harvest that you reap, or it's gonna be as easy. That's the harvest that you reap. But It could be that we're going to plant seeds and we're going to use this Yom Tov as a launching pad for everything that's going to happen moving forward. And we're going to start, this Yom Tov is going to create something majestic about our relationship with our children and with our family. There's another quote, which is that growth demands temporary surrender of security. Being at other people's Seder is much more secure than being at our own Seder. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we're actually trying to make a minyan. We've been making a minyan. Now, let me make it clear to you, okay? Because I understand that there should not be public minyanim. But between all of us that are eating together, breakfast, lunch, and supper, we, Baruch Hashem, hit 10 men. So we're able to make a minyan just the same way, like we're eating breakfast, it's 10 men. It's eating lunch, it's 10 men. We're davening shacharis, it's 10 men. We are not including other people. The Rav who lives here in my building, Rabbi Efrati, does not come daven with us because that's dangerous. It's exposing someone doesn't need to be exposed. But the 10 of us are together. We're basically a closed circle. So we're doing that. But that means that now we have to daven. We have to daven Yom Tov, and we have to do Tal. We have to do Shir Hashirim. I mean, official Goldfeder would be here, so he'd do it all for me. And then everything would be easy, but we don't have them. So we're learning all this new stuff. And for sure, it would be much easier if we would just have the Baal Koire and the Chaz and whatever it is. And growth demands temporary surrender of security. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to grow into a big position right now. And we're going to become the teacher. So now, I want to talk to you about how to run a Seder, my friends. How to run a Seder. The most important thing, the night of the Seder, is that the children should be able to ask questions, is to include and to inspire. Those are the two things which I want to try to get us to focus on. And we're going to talk about how different people do that. There are different ways to do that. So there's a saying from the Native American people. They say, tell me and I forget. Show me and I may not remember. Involve me and I understand. Which is, we have to involve our children in our Seder. If a person sits there at the head of the table and just, you know, launches all different types of speeches, so that might be good for him. But what he has to do is he's going to have to now, what he has to do is involve his family. Now the Chassam Sofer, which I learned a tremendous amount of Chassam Sofer, is from the deepest of the deep, Mamish. The depths of the Chassam Sofer, you know, when the Mashgiach once spoke about the Chassam Sofer, and he said that the Chassam Sofer one time, his son went underneath his talis by Berachas Kohanim, and there was, and he heard the singing of angels under his talis, because he was like, it's so Kabbalistic. It was unbelievable. But the night of the Seder, the Chassam Sofer was just talking to his children like simple Haggadah, simple Divrei Torah. We're really trying to get to their level, just trying to involve them, engage them, inspire them, inspire our children. That's what we're trying to do. So the way to do that, perhaps, is some of the other things that we said. Instead of being a sage on the stage, you have to be a guide on the side. Which is not to just tell everyone everything and just talk about everything, but bring people into the conversation and engage them and try to bring out their questions and try to help to build their answers. I remember my father, Zolzayin Gezunt, he should be healthy. My father used to give many kashrus seminars. He used to speak a lot in camps and schools or different places. And often people would ask questions. And my father would try to refine a person's question, or to try to enhance the question. Somebody asked the question, and maybe it wasn't exactly what the person meant to ask, but my father steered the question into a place where it's like, that's a great question. Because you're trying to build the person that's asking the question. You're trying to make him feel good about his question. And that's what we're doing on the night of the Seder. That is, Seder is a lot of questions, and we do not need to know all the answers. It's important that we ask questions. And a lot of times, if you look even in the Haggadah, a lot of the questions that we're asking, the answers don't even seem to be good answers necessarily. And some of the answers we don't even have. I'll tell you, my one of my Rebbeim, Rav Michal Shurkin, I wasn't by his Seder, but I've heard one of the things he used to do, and Rav Michal Shurkin was very much like a Rambam person. And he saw this in the Rambam. He used to just do real bizarre things on the night of the Seder. Real bizarre things. Like, for example, he'd take the bottle of wine and just put it on his head. Like, okay, wine on the head, here we go, wine on the head. Like, what in the world are you doing? He says, oh, it's different. This is a different night. Everything is different over here. We want to start open people's minds. Because it's good to have questions. And this is where there's a challenge for us, my friends. Because have we really asked the questions? And we don't need to know the answers, but we need to start asking the questions ourselves. And when a person starts asking the questions, he'll get some answers. He won't get all of them, but we're starting on a path, on a journey of looking to try to find answers. And if a person just goes through his life without looking for answers for anything, then it's stale. But our job, the job of education, is to replace an empty mind with an open mind. Malcolm Forbes, my friends. The purpose of education is to replace an empty mind with an open one. So here we are. Kids don't know anything, but they have a lot of questions. That's great. Let's encourage those questions. We'll try to give them some answers. And some answers we may have to some of the questions. And some of them we won't, and that's okay. We don't also need to know the answers to all the questions, but we need to be asking them ourselves. Because we have to be the ones that are, we are displaying the type of behavior that we're trying to instill in our children. So that's part of the challenge that we have of running our own Seder. Are we really doing this right ourselves enough that we can give it over to our children? And what we have to try to realize is the night of the Seder, a person can propel himself. A person can jump into that role the night of the Seder. It says in the Haggadah, I have a Haggadah that I use, a Sefer that I use. It's called Torah Ladas or Matasyahu Blum. He passed away yesterday, which was very, very hard for me because I've been learning his farm for many years from Queens, or Matas Blum. And he brings there the following thing. This is his own pshat. It's very few of his own pshat that I've seen. In the years that I've learned this far, this is one of them. Zecher tzadik livracha. Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah hayaviseinu. Ve'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodasa. Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah hayaviseinu. Ve'achshav. What does ve'achshav mean? It should say ve'acharkach. Mitchila oivdei avodah zarah. Originally, our forefathers did avodah zarah. Ve'achshav. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us close to his avodah. Says Rabbi Tzio Blum. I don't even know if he's even Zechet to Kever Yisrael yet. I'm assuming they hurry things up. Assuming it's, but Mamash, she just passed away. He says, Achshav means now. Kodesh Baruch Hu's bringing us close. So Rabbi Yisai, we have an opportunity now, tonight, we call it tonight, I mean this night, to just jump into this role. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will propel us. He's going to push us forward. We have to be people who are inspired. We want to inspire our children. So we have to work on ourselves trying to be inspired. We have to pay attention to our children, appreciate our children. And we not just talk to them, to talk with them. Try to have mutual understanding of who our children are. And Beis Hashem, we can make this, like I said, a new beginning of something that is... that is going to be very precious to be able to build our children. This night is really about our families. It's also about every person has to be mechanech himself. As I mentioned, it says even if a person is by himself, that people are spending their own Seder by themselves, you have to ask yourself those questions. You have to bring out the child in us. It says the following thing, the question that the Ben HaChocham asks. He asks the following thing. It says, Ma avoida azois. It says, let me see the exact lushin. I'm going to get it out right now, my friends. Anyone have any questions while I'm looking this up? So I could hear your voices. I'm preaching about engaging, and here I am just talking the whole time. Does anyone have any questions for me? Because I would encourage questions. Anyone want to? You have to unmute yourself if you want to do that. I guess not. Okay, my friends. Last chance. Chochamahu oimer ma'edus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. So the Chacham is not like the Rasha. The Rasha, I mean, one of the big questions that they ask is what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? The questions seem to be very similar. I know Rav Moshe Feinstein says something. He says, you're right. If you would examine the words alone, you won't see any difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. But a father is supposed to know when his son is asking a question because he really wants to know, or he's really just being antagonistic. You have to know by his tone of voice. That's what Rav Moshe says. Other people, other tirutzim. The answer that I'd like to just mention is over here, the Rashi, the Chacham, even though he says, but he says Hashem Elokeinu. So he's including himself. The Rasha just says, Ma Avoda Zois Lachem. It's like this is there's nothing to do with me. So the Chacham is saying Elokeinu, it's our God, so I'm included. But Eschem, Hashem is commanding you. So what's really behind the Chacham's question? So one of the Pshatim is the Emek Yeshua says the following thing. He says, why, the Chacham is asking, why are you so busy with me, the kid? V'higadata lebimcha, right? That's the mitzvah. Why are you so busy with me? It's not, I have no mitzvahs, I'm a kid, right? The children are under bar mitzvah, so we have to ask them to say manashtana, we're so busy. So like, what's the point? It's not my, I have no obligations. So, Hashem Elokeinu Eschem, this is your chiyuv. What does that have to do with me? That's the says the Emek Yeshua. That's really what's bothering the Ben HaChacham. What is the answer? Ein maftir en achar Pesach afikoyim. The answer is that when we the night of the Seder, we're supposed to let the taste of the afikomen, in our case it's the matzah, linger in our mouth. It's supposed to stay with us, and we're supposed to create good memories. Let it stay with you. We have to create special memories. This is a Pesach like no other. We might never have another Pesach like this. And we have to create amazing memories on this night. And that's what we're trying to do. And one of the things the Piasetzner writes, my friends, and this is what really the main message I wanted to share with you. The Heilige Piasetzner, Chovas HaTalmidim, says, you know what children remember about the Seder? They remember the way the Seder is set. They remember the beautiful napkins. They remember the excitement of cleaning the room. Now, there are some people out there, these intellectuals, that they think that there's something like wrong with that. And I've heard people speak about that way in our yeshiva. I don't know if any of you were there. You probably weren't, but there was someone got up and is talking about how, you know, the importance is of people understanding the depths behind everything they're doing. And there's a lot of depths in the Seder, in the Seder plate, the way it's situated and the different things and it's connected, the spheroids and all the different things we're going through. And there's a lot of chachma. Some people say it's so important. Says the Piasetzna. It's so important for the kids to just have positive memories. If it's about, you know, the chicken that they ate, if it's about the maror, that the maror was too much or not too much, or just things. I remember my Zayda's Seder. I'm trying to remember how long ago the Seder was. It's for sure more than 35 years ago. For sure. It's probably close to 40 years ago. I remember my Zayda's Seder. We were in North Bergen, New Jersey. And I just remember it was so exciting to us. I don't remember anything said of that Seder. Says the Piasetzna, that is the most powerful thing you could give to your children. A tam in Yiddishkeit. a tam in Yiddishkeit. It's a taste. Says the Piasetzna, the tam means two things. A tam means a reason. Taima, my taima. The Gemara says, what's the reason? And we could talk about, have great divrei Torah, and they can be very intellectual, and they can be inspiring, whatever it might be. And tam also means a flavor, a taste. Which one is more compelling? When you have a reason for something, a taima, or you have a tam, or you have a taste? Which one is more compelling? A person that says, you know why you keep Shabbos? Keep Shabbos because Shabbos Malkasa, it's the Svira, it's seven, it's David HaMelech, and because I understand that on Shabbos, that there's this idea of becoming one with Shabbos, and Kedushin, and Sheva Brachos, and Eidos, and all, you could come up with all the mystical things, which are all beautiful, and I see lots of Divrei Torah about them, Shvilei Pinchas, and other things like that. Or, I love Shabbos, I love Cholent, delicious, potato kugel, it's phenomenal, it's like, which one is more compelling? I might sound like an idiot to some people. And some people might say that. Says the Piasetzna, you can't schlug up a chalent. You can't schlug up potato kugel. Give them a tam in their Yiddishkeit. Give it something that they just, I just love it. I just love it. Just, you know, why does a person love getting a hug from his mother? Can you explain that to me? No, you can't. But that's, it says the PSF, and this is his mashal. He says, that's more true and more real to a person than anything you're going to try to explain to them. So, what we have to do on the night of the Seder is we have to give our children enthusiasm, excitement, make memories with our kids, make memories with them, whatever that means. Some people, they get dressed up. I know that we have jalabiyas. Jalabiyas, those of us that went to Morocco, we got these they're like dresses kind of for men. Moroccan dresses for men. But they look like things that, you know, people that wear from the desert. That's where the Morocco is a desert. The Sahara Desert is over there. So we sometimes wear jalabiyas. We sometimes, you know, there's different frog games or different things. These are like, some people might think that they're little. You could play a game with your kids. You could be Moshe. They could be Paro. I know that Rabbi Bender is talking about how he does that. He's a Paro, and one of his, and they make this whole like charade with his kids, and they reenact Choshech, they reenact Sfardeya. You could do anything that's going to excite your kids. You could have the Koshel Eliyahu in the middle and put candy inside the Koshel Eliyahu. And anyone asks this a good question, you give them the candy, and you could encourage them and just make magical memories. And then you were successful. It's not about what you say. Tomorrow night, Beis Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, going to give a Haggadah Shir with Divrei Torah, thoughts on the Haggadah. And it's beautiful. And you can have amazing Divrei Torah, and I'm going to try to pound out as many Divrei Torah as I can, hopefully inspiring, and hopefully they'll be instructive, and they'll be informative, and all that stuff. What I want to tell you, my friends, is that as the person that's running the Seder, the most important thing is to make meaningful memories. And if we do that, so then our children will be ones that will have a warm feeling towards the Avodas Hashem. And that's something that will stay with them way longer than all the Divrei Torah that we have. In many of the Haggadahs, they can tell you when you're supposed to put on the Seder plate, take off the Seder plate, and you know when to fill the cup and not fill the cup. A person should always try to follow his, whatever his Messiah is, if he has, and if not, you can just follow what it says over there in the Haggadah. Just want to leave with you with one more quote from Albert Einstein. Teaching should be that what is offered is perceived as a valuable gift and not a hard duty. We're trying to teach our children. So we have to give them something that they feel is exciting, something that there is valuable. And we do that by giving them these warm feelings towards the Seder. So as much as we can involve our children, as much as we can do that, Beis Hashem with Siyata Dishmaya, I'm confident that this is going to be a very precious Yom Tov. It's going to be a very special Yom Tov. And even though it's challenging, But a person, sometimes the challenges is when a person shines the most. And I hope that all of us can do something to take stock of all the things that are being affected in our lives and even the things that aren't, but particularly the things that are being affected, and make real sincere improvements. And I talk to people about what is the right thing to do. What I've mentioned a lot to a lot of different people is that what we should be doing is things that are sustainable. In other words, a lot of people are trying to like work on themselves tonight in Amunavad. I hope to talk about Mashiach, because some people are freaking out about Mashiach. So there was a request that I speak about Mashiach, and hopefully I will. But some people are like being crazy, crazy machped. And because I'm with like very dear friends, I can give this muscle. But the younger guys, it's not as easy for me to be as open. But like someone was saying, that his wife and kids decide they're not watching any movies anymore. And I think that's great, because I don't think movies are so healthy. But is it sustainable? If it's not sustainable, so then that is not going to affect the change that Hashem wants. Am I saying it's bad? No, I'm not saying it's bad. But because Baruch Hu wants us to take something that you can sustain. If you are watching movies like crazy, and you're going to just like hold your breath until Corona's over, and then you're like, you're hoping Mashiach's going to come right away. And if it doesn't come right away, after a week or 2 weeks, okay, you're going to start get back to watching your movies. And after a month, you're going to be the same guy that you were beforehand. That's a disaster. It's a wasted opportunity. We have to take something that is going to make us a little bit better and make sure that it's something sustainable. Now, can we do other stuff that's not sustainable because we're nervous? It's the time of Gzeira, it's the time of Magefa. Yes, you could do other stuff. I'm not saying not to. But what I'm saying is that the most important thing is to become a better person. A tefach hecher. A tefach hecher means get a little bit higher, just a little bit, and keep that. And then you're growing, you're moving. That brings the ultimate chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, I am on a path. Now, I don't know when I'm going to get there, but I'm moving towards you. I'm coming closer. I'm going up. That is Ma'ir Rachamim, more than anything else. So let's not waste this opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a chance. He's squeezing us. Just like olives, you need to squeeze them to get the good stuff out. Yidden have a lot of good stuff in us. And we're going to rise to this opportunity, and we're going to be great. My friends, if there are any questions about the Seder, if you want to ask me, now's your chance. Ask me whatever you want to ask. It's just the friends. It's just the boys. Tomorrow night, tonight we're having a Munavad. Tomorrow night we're doing the Haggadah. If anyone has any questions they want to ask, now's the time. If you please, Five-ish, I see you with us.
Rebbe, it's David.
Yes.
Hey, David. One thing that, how are you? One thing that I was thinking about is halachmania, right? Kal dichvin yasin ve'eichel. Like, how do you do that this year? Because you can't.
Because you don't have any guests. Is that what you mean?
You can have guests.
Excellent. So I was thinking of that also, David. And my answer to you is as follows. I was thinking about this tonight. This is critical for someone like you, David. For someone like you. Chesed starts in the home. Chesed starts in the home. We want to invite people to our... The point of inviting people to our Seder is that we want to be able to do Chesed. Avraham Avinu is Midah of Pesach. I'm going to speak about it tomorrow night, Beis Hashem. But it's extremely important for people that are activists and that are out there. And I include myself as one of them. And it's very tempting to be out there and saving the world and everyone else. But we got to take care of our family. And we have to do Chesed with the people that are closest to us. Shveirosh, the night of his suda, wanted everyone to be happy. Lasos kirtzoin ish ve'ish. The only one he made demands from that night was who?
His wife.
It's the only one, because she's the only one. She's the only one that like does. You know, at the end of the day, he's just a husband to her. It's like he doesn't care about her enough, right? Chesed starts in the home, and we see Avraham Avinu how kind he was to his wife, and the epitome of chesed. So in a chanami, we can't do it the way we're used to doing it. So now let's turn inwards. Let's give a little extra attention and be a little extra nice and extra complimentary to our family, to our wives, to our kids. You know, there's a saying, our children need our love when they deserve it the least. Our children need our love the most when I'm in like this mood to like say over quotes. So that's one of them. Our children need our love the most when they deserve it the least. So now we have to give our children a lot of chesed. On Pesach, we have to be ma'ir chesed. And Hashem is saying that the most important place to do it is in your house. That's why we give a bracha to someone. Kishem shenechnas labris. And you kind of say the Torah. The chuppah. Chuppah comes first because you want to do the ultimate kindness you do with your spouse. The ultimate kindness. Listen to this, David. With this, I'll answer your question. Hopefully, if anyone has other questions, I'll try to get it. My phone is dying, so we'll see how long we can go. The pasuk says, right in the beginning of Vayikra, it says, Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. And the Vayikra is a small aleph. Why is the aleph small? So one of the pshatim that's brought down, this is a powerful pshat, it's from the Eitzer. It's in the Eitzer place that I can get you the Makar. If you hold on 1 second, I'm going to get it for you.
Stammer, go on mute. Always making noise.
For Yitzi, I know Yitzi wants to see what Moroccan dress looks like. So Yitzi, that's for you.
Thank you, man. I love seeing you in a dress.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. So.
Okay, it looks like I'm not going to get it for you because I think that it's next door. We have next door is what we call HQ. And that's where I think the Sefer is going to take me too long to get it from there. But listen to this. This is it's in the Sefer Eitzer place. That's right. If you want to see the Makar, or you could email me. I'll tell you. It's a small aleph because Avraham Avinu was perished from his wife. I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu was perished from his wife. Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't live with his wife for quite a while. So the aleph is small. Ki'ilu, it's not a criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu. But at the same time, it minimalizes a little bit, a small bit, what Moshe Rabbeinu was. In other words, the importance of having a healthy relationship with your intimate family. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that. He was too busy with Kali Sol, and not at his blame. We're not saying that. But at the same time, it didn't exist. So we who have such a desire to do chesed, to share, to bring guests. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But Hashem is saying, this year, focus inward and have that chesed with your family. Build that relationship. And there are certain things which it's normal for a person who has a great relationship with his family to have little bumps, and we kind of like just like we like smooth them over. We kind of like ignore them, or we like, you know, you can give everyone their space because I'll just, you know, excuse myself now. And we know when to give each other space. Hashem's saying, no, it's not time for space. Work it out. Focus on it. Make it good. And Beis Hashem, for future years,
did we lose you, Rebbe?
Sounds like it.
The phone died.
So how about that weather, huh?
Go Bears, Yitz.
Mendy, where are the rest of the pictures?
Go Bears, go Bulls. What?
Where are the rest of the pictures?
Who's asking for pictures?
All right, I think
whoever realized it takes so much work to make Pegasus.
Rebbe's talking, but we can't hear him now. He's on mute.
Okay, Mandy, you're the admin now. So finish it off.
And that kid is how I met your mother.
Okay, now what happens?
Wow.
Rebbe's back.
I'm back. Mendel.
Yes.
How you doing, Mandy? Mandy, I missed you by Super Seder.
I sent Yitzi, my emissary, for me, Rebbe.
I missed you, Rebbe.
Cover all bases for me.
It was epic. But yeah, you held down the fort, David, didn't you?
Mendy, sorry I wasn't there, Mendy. The
We never had poppers, Rebbe.
All right. Come on. Never. Oh, what do you mean we never had poppers? You mean when back
our
in your
Super
day?
Seder, we didn't have poppers.
But back in the
we
day,
barely had sushi. Yeah.
That's true. Okay, listen, it's, you know, it's a new generation. We got to give them a little bit more.
Hantigaditis.
That's right. You know, we had over 1,000 people by Super Set. Ask Ali Stamler.
That's
there was impressive. No room. There was no room. It was packed.
It was unbelievable.
And not only that, it was like from the get-go. It wasn't like in the middle, started getting full. Like on time, it was packed.
It was unbelievable.
No
me and Yitzi take full credit, by the way.
You got it. Well, I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael, hopefully, next year, Super Saiyan. I hope you all be with us. Beis Hashem.
Rebbe, I heard that you have a yeshiva upstate.
I do plan on being in America after Pesach. If I can do it, I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to be making the announcement soon. You guys get the – I'm speaking to the Rebbeim tomorrow about it. It's probably going to be actually in the Midwest. I'm looking to go to the Midwest to open yeshiva after Pesach. You're all invited to join. If we're not going to be doing quarantine, you could all jump come for Shabbos because we're going to have a big campus. We'll make like
tell us where so we can book tickets now. They're $22.
Shabbos, you can go on to Chicago.
Well, you guys can drive, by the way, also because it's not. I mean, you know, it depends. If you got an RV, you can make it into like a road trip.
Enough as it is now, so
that's true.
Rabbi.
Yes.
Aside from giving the kids the memories and making it exciting for them and entertaining, what's the message I'm trying to convey to them?
Thanks. That we're grateful. It's very important to be grateful. And we have a lot to thank Hashem for. Hallel is to praise Hashem, to sing to Hashem. And when a person is giving over this idea of how much we have to be thankful for, so then we create people that are grateful people. That I think is a person wants to know what is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. I ask people this question: why do I have to be from? So I'll ask you the question, my friends: why do we have to be from? Because Olam Haba. Okay, I don't want Olam Haba because it's true. Okay, I don't want the truth. What do I have to be from for? It's a challenging question. A lot of people don't know the answer to that question. I'll tell you what I think the answer is. Because we're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the answer. Hashem gave us so much. So he asked us to keep Shabbos. Okay, Hashem, you know what? I can do that for you. You gave me my life. You gave me my family. You gave me, Baruch Hashem, my health. You gave me everything. I can give you Shabbos. I can give you tefillin. I can give you. It's because we're grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other reason. Think about it. Why do I have to keep Shabbos? Oh, because you're going to get Olam Haba. Okay, I'm willing to, I'll forego on that one. I'm okay. I'll cut my losses. You know what I mean? One in the hand is worth two in the bush. I'm enjoying myself in this world. I don't need Olam Haba. What do you say to that? It's a mistake. Okay, I'll make a mistake. So why do I have to do that? What's forcing me? What's compelling me? What's compelling us to do this is a sense of gratitude. That's why we sing Hallel, the Noyim Lefan of Shira Chadosha. And the idea that's here, the Brisker Rav says, it's brought down in the Emek Bracha. Shira Chadosha is a new song. In other words, you have to be filled with your own gratitude, your thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've taken out us. You've taken us out of such difficult situations. You've given us so much. Ilo Hitziyanu Mimitzrayim, Dayenu, 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 which is Hashem. Thank you, because that would be enough, and that would be enough. I have so much to be thankful for. We are such lucky people. We're so blessed to be able to be in the United States of America. You know how lucky we are? Think about the Jewish people over the course of history. There has never been a more comfortable time in history. We live with so much luxury. Even anyone that lives in like an apartment in a complex and it's rented and he says, wow, look at these guys. They have big houses. They have cars. Do you know how lucky you are? Do you know what it was like when they lived in the shtetl, in the pale with the parrots, and they had no money, and there was like, and there was pogroms, and there was famine, and there was, and all that stuff. So, you know, we're going through a challenging time. But let's think about in our life how lucky we are, how blessed we are. And a person fills himself with gratitude. He gives that feeling over to his children. That is the foundation of our Yiddishkeit. Be grateful. That's why Kibbutz Ava'im is such a major, important lesson. We have to, because we'd be grateful to our parents. And then we'll be grateful to Hashem. So we also have to try to do that, to instill in our children, we be role models of our respect to our parents. Because don't ever expect your children to respect you if you don't respect your parents. And even though sometimes older people can be difficult, they can be cantankerous, and they can be sometimes illogical, we have to make sure that what our children are seeing is the right type of respect, or hearing that they should see that we respect our parents. And that comes from a feeling of gratitude. So I think that that's the most important thing we should try to show our children, that we're grateful and that we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sing shirish, try to sing the halal if you can. Whether you have a good voice, don't have a good voice, don't make a difference. That's not what they're, you know, this is not about making a musical performance. But it's just about, I want to sing. I want to sing to Hashem. So then your children hopefully will be able to pick that up. Does that answer your question, Yitz?
Perfect, thank you.
Awesome.
Yitz sings a lot in shul, so he's good to go.
Well, finally get Mendy to sing again, because they're always trying to get you on the mic. You know?
As soon as Rebbe said something about a dress, Mendy was very excited, and he's still excited.
I found a picture of the Morocco thing that you were talking about.
Jalabia.
Now I got to find it again. Yitzi, you might have a copy already.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Hold on.
Nice. Yitzi Dreyfus, it's good to see you with your boys over there. Libby.
How are you? I got a question.
Thanks.
Yitzi, good question. But how important is the whole, all the words of the Haggadah rather than like skipping around or focusing? As you all have kids, I think, on the same age, probably everyone under bar mitzvah.
That's an excellent question, Fivish. That's an awesome question. I'm sorry, Levy. I'm just looking at Fivish. I got to see it. I just got distracted. Fivish is very good looking, you know, so he gets distracted a little bit. good to see you, buddy. Okay, Levy, that's an awesome question.
Rebbe, thank you so much. I am ready for the stage tonight.
Now, again, my phone might die on us because it's supposed to die any second, so we'll see what happens. But Levy, we'll try to pick up tomorrow night. If you guys have any questions, you could email them to me, and I'll try to include them tomorrow night. Yeah, you can do it. You have a battery? I need a battery. My daughter's trying to hook me up over here. Like this, Levy. My suggestion is the following thing. You listen to me carefully. I suggest the first night of the Seder, make sure you say every word. You can say some of them very quickly, but say every word of the Seder. The second night of the Seder, where it's going to be much more difficult to hold your children's attention, you have to say all the brachas, try to hit all the main ones, but like the Vayihi b'chatzi alayla, if you can't hit that, so then it, the most important thing, what we want to give over to our children is like I said, the memories, and if that's going to bore them or it's going to put them to sleep, so then don't do that. Okay, I think we just saved ourselves. Thanks to my daughter. Oops. Does that make sense? You got that, Levy?
Yep, thanks.
Yeah, but the first night you want to hit, you want to say everything. You could say quickly, and you could even skip, by the way, and go back to it. You could do that. Let's say you want to get to Shulchan Aruch, and you feel like, you know, things are schlepping, and you need to keep the kids. Part of the reason why we have this whole idea of Afikomen is you want to keep the kids excited. By the way, we have a Chad Gadya. You guys know the Chad Gadya?
Central I wish Chad I did. Gadya.
I remember it.
Chad Gadya, Chad Gadya.
That's right. Who's that?
Fivish.
Of course it's Fivish.
Wow. The good looking one.
Kids, they love Chad Gadya, that they're going to sleep before Chad Gadya. It's not happening. So my kids are staying
up. Correct, Debbie? Not before
Chad Gadya? Ah, Shalom Aleichem. Nice to see him. So listen, but for some people, it's Echad Miyodea. It's whatever it is. It's going to keep the family up. But what's important is that if we can try to make sure that we give our family the most experience that we possibly can, the biggest, the most enriching experience for the Seder. So, but I do think we should try to, the first night, try to make sure you say every single word you can at some point. Any other questions? Just want to mention how wonderful it is to have Yaakov Levitan over here with us. Baruch Hashem.
Big round of applause.
Big round of applause for Yaakov Levitan. Yaakov made a big impact on the yeshiva. And again, I want to thank Fishel for arranging this. You know, one of the brachas that I've had over here with this whole crisis is that I've gotten really in touch with a lot of Talmidim, some of which even, you know, the relationships weren't, I wouldn't say rocky, but weren't like weren't the strongest. And they've been coming on the shiurim, and then we've been talking to them, and even the ones that have great relationships, but we've just fallen out of touch a little bit, which, you know, is normal to happen. So that's why I particularly wanted to have this special shiur just for the original founders of yeshiva, which is what you guys are. Everything that yeshiva is on your shoulders. And Baruch Hashem, we're finishing our 14th year in yeshiva, I believe it is. And it's all in your schus, the people that were willing to take that leap. And I've spoken about it at the alumni Shabbos in the past. It's kind of like the Jewish people when they took the leap into the desert, and they're the ones that, you know, they went into the wilderness, to the unknown. So you guys were there, and you helped us to establish this new yeshiva. And, people have said to me, and I'm going to echo that, and I have no problem taking credit for it. He said, you know how many yeshivas opened up after our Deres HaTorah opened? I mean, I could go through the names. There are tens of yeshivas that opened afterwards. Because once, like, we, like, broke through the barrier. Before that, I don't know if, like, in 10 years, anyone that really opened the yeshiva. We broke through the barrier. And then all of a sudden, yeshivas started popping up all over the place. And there's so many of them. Baruch Hashem. And they're great yeshivas. And I'm very happy that they're there. And I think that it really is all in your schus. Because who would have thought that, you know, such yeshiva would be matzliach? Most people didn't. Most of the people I spoke to when we opened thought that I was crazy and the yeshiva was going to fold. And Baruch Hashem, they're very happy to be proven wrong. And it's all because of you guys and the people that were there and the ones that came on board right away. So Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of schusim. We have a lot of people that learning Torah because of the fact that we realized what was going to be good for us. So Baruch Hashem, a lot to be proud of. But that's not, we can't rest on those laurels, you know. I was once at the Kaisel and I saw Meir Shuster. And Meir Shuster was a big tzaddik. I don't know if you guys know who he was. He was the person who used to put tefillin. He was the original person who used to take people off the wall. And there was a guy there and Meir Shuster was putting tefillin on him. I witnessed this. It was such a cool thing to see. The guy's there and Meir Shuster says to him, like, what are you going to do when you get to Shemaim? What are you going to say to Hashem? This guy obviously doesn't put on tefillin. And he said, I'm going to say to Hashem, the guy says, I'm going to say to Hashem, I support my daughter and son-in-law in Koilo. That's what he said. The guy's not from, but his daughter's obviously a Baal Shuva. And he's like, I support my children in Koilo. So Ramesh Shuster, I was like, wow, that's a good answer. You know, it's unbelievable. Ramesh Shuster said, that's good. But what are you doing for yourself? And you know, we've done a lot in the past, but like, what are we doing for ourselves today? And we have to keep on growing. We have to keep on building ourselves and our families. And Beis Hashem, my bracha is for all of us that this will be the most amazing Pesach.
Amen.
I'll leave you with one last thing. Amen. Eli Eisenman, our administrator, his wedding was the night of a great big blackout in Cleveland. And there was no electricity. So there was no lights at his wedding. There was no air conditioning. It was during the summer. No air conditioning at his wedding. There was no music at his wedding. The only light they had was the light of the cameraman, the videographer. The only music they had was the drums. There was no singer because there was no music. That was his wedding. And it was the most memorable and labadik and geschmack wedding. Even though all the stuff, all the outer trappings weren't there, the chevra was there, and they were able, and they were mesamech as much as they could. They were schwitzing their brains out. But, you know, sometimes it's in these types of irregular situations where it could be the most amazing and the most beautiful. So like I said, things work out best for people that make the best for the way things work out. Let's do that. Let's have a beautiful Yom Tov and Beis Hashem. Shana Habab Yushalayim Habanuya. Let's say that with all of our heart and all of our soul. And I pray Baruch Hu help that we're going to be together. We're going to have a Chabura, my friends, of Karban Pesach. I'm looking forward to sharing it with all of you next year. Yushalayim Yerakodesh.